Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a very special person with me, special for so many reasons, as you'll soon understand. She is LB Johnson. LB is an adoptee and a birth mom, a rescue dog mom, and a wife. Growing up on the West Coast, she was adopted by a retired Air Force officer and a deputy sheriff who quit to be a full-time mom to her and her adopted brother. Wanting to see more of the world than a small mill town, she left for college and flight school and eventually landed a job flying as a pilot for both the U.S. government, then an airline, and finally hanging up her wings at age 40, wishing to be in the same time zone for a whole day. She finished her PhD in a criminal justice field and took an investigative position for a federal agency, which is nothing like what you see on TV, even if she could afford the low-cut designer suits all the female stars in such shows wear. She lives in Chicago with her engineer husband and senior black lab rescue, Abby, and is active in animal rescue. 100% of the profits of her books are donated to animal rescue nonprofits and Search Dog Foundation. She is the author of the Amazon number one bestsellers, The Book of Barkley, Love and Life Through the Eyes of a Labrador Retriever, and Saving Grace, A Story of Adoption. And when I found out that all of LB's book profits are donated to animal rescue causes, I knew I had to meet her. And I'm just thrilled to share her with you today. So welcome to the show, LB.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to have you here. And I have to tell you this. I actually sat at my desk weeping, seriously crying, as I read how you selected your little puppy, Barkley, and your first night home when he was frightened and he let out a little cry at night and you held him. And as you wrote, his little doggy heart beating against yours. And you talk about the chance that we have to connect and love again. And it just made me realize that your whole life centers around those words.
It really does. I didn't realize until I got Barkley just how alone I'd been traveling all over the world as a pilot, not really forming any close friendships or bonds other than just a distant relationship with my family, who I love, but just physically was apart from. And Barkley really helped me connect with love again, and not just of animals, but of humankind, as I learned to trust again.
That is so interesting to me, because this recently happened to me within the last 2 years. I've always been extremely allergic to cats, and this little feral cat and her mom found me on the back deck, and the mother left her to have more babies, and so I took her in, and now I have 11 rescue feral cats, and I'm no longer allergic. And
that is funny.
And I have just found the love I have for these little people has really helped me open up, as you say, toward other people, toward humans as well. It's been such a beautiful experience. And I think that's why I actually sat here and cried as I read the beginning of your story.
Yes, I will tell people that the first chapter of the book, The Barkley, is somewhat of a tearjerker, but there's so much humor that came about as I raised that very strong personality of a dog. He had a very unique character and joyous nature that I'd not experienced with other breeds of dogs. And there was much, much humor to be found. So even reading back now, looking at bits and pieces of the book in retrospect, even the sad parts make me smile, mm-hmm. and bring back memories.
I'm sitting here smiling as you're saying that. What moved you then to donate your book profits to animal rescue?
Well, I've always been active in animal rescue, just sometimes volunteering, sometimes making small donations, providing food to shelters that need it during the holidays. But I realized that, you know, this book was more about than me. It was about bringing a message to people of caring and love, and part of that is helping the less fortunate, which can be humans indeed, but often is animals, and often animals are overlooked. So I wanted to do what little I could to make sure other dogs and cats, and we have all kinds of animal shelters. I even donate to one that rescues blind horses. Mm-hmm. But those animals get a chance, and that makes me feel better than any kind of personal acclaim or monetary rewards of writing.
I understand what you're saying exactly. Now, LB, your books are autobiographical, and they are just so honest. Why did you choose to write about your life?
Well, I was prompted to write my first book, The Book of Barkley, when I lost both Barkley and my only brother, who I was adopted with, to very sudden aggressive cancers. And I literally lost them within a couple of weeks of one another. And in my grief, I started thinking back and remembering all the good bits. And I wanted to capture that. I've always been a writer as a hobby, just blogging, social media, the occasional little magazine article. But I wanted to craft their stories, and not just for myself, but my father, who's in his mid-90s and he's outlived two children and two wives. So for me, it was a telling of my life so that my father and other members of my extended family can look back at the things that they weren't party to and share that in with me.
Now, the Book of Barkley, you say, at its core, my book uses lyricism and reflections to explore why we actively bring love into our lives, knowing that we will one day lose it. My time with Barkley literally shaped me and the entire world around me. And by looking at the world through the trust and innocence of Barkley's eyes, I was able to find love again and embrace it as the grandest adventure I'd ever embark upon. Writing this upon losing Barkley and my only brother to cancer within weeks of one another became both a tribute and a eulogy. So briefly, share the Book of Barkley with us.
Well, the Book of Barkley was written to kind of walk people through a journey of my life. It starts with the loss of Barkley, but only is a matter of reflection of what he brought to me and how much he was missed. And then it goes back in small vignettes of my life from childhood on up to when I get Barkley to explain just how important he was to me and why. It started with becoming pregnant in college and giving that child up for adoption, which was the right decision, but for me it broke my heart, especially when the child's father abandoned me. And after that, I just closed myself off to people. And so people, in looking back at my life, will further understand how when I got Barkley and started learning to love again, just what an incredible shift in perspective it was for me. And it got to the point where I was becoming more social, I was making more friends, and I eventually met my now husband with the help of Barkley, which is a story in and of itself.
So he led you to your husband?
In a matter of fact, I knew my husband's father professionally, and he introduced us, but my husband was much younger than I, and so I thought, well, not date or probably not even be friends because of the age difference, but he'd heard so much about Barkley, he wanted to meet him, and since I knew his family quite well, we met up for coffee, and frankly, it was love at first sight, and we were friends for several years, just sharing events and outings with other friends. And then we realized we had feelings for one another beyond friendship. And 2 years after that, we were married. And Barkley was there at the wedding.
Oh, I love that. And, it makes sense that an animal could help you through a difficult time like that, because these little people are non-judgmental. I mean, it's total love and gratitude.
Yes, they are. I now have a senior rescue dog who's eyeing me from the sofa as we speak. We got her. She had been abandoned heartworm positive at a high kill shelter and was scheduled to be euthanized when a lab rescue organization in Indiana got her and fostered her and got her well, and she's now part of our family here.
Oh, just gave me goosebumps. I love that you do this. It's more people need to pay attention to this cause. Now, your book, Saving Grace, is also a memoir. You say it's more about adoption. It's a look at those we bring into our lives, whether related to us or not, both two and four-legged, and how they become family. So that book follows your life as you gave up your child, as you indicated earlier. Share a bit of that story as well.
Well, I wrote that, again, to capture some stories of my family for my father before he left us. And it parallels in many ways some of the stories in the Book of Barkley, yet it's essentially different because the outlook in that book is why we bring certain people in our life and why they become important to us. And then also it delves into the subject of adoption, and not just human adoption, because although giving up my daughter for adoption as a teen was a huge part of what shaped me as an adult, especially when I got to meet her when she was an adult with the blessing of her parents. It looks really strongly at animal adoption and just the ways that we bring souls into our lives that complement and support us, both two- and four-legged. So it's a different look at the world, and yet it parallels the Book of Barclay. You can read both books completely separate, or you can view them together for a broader picture of me, but they were intended as separate storylines and separate outlooks.
Mm-hmm. Now, how difficult was it for you to revisit your life and put it down on paper?
I would say it was cathartic. It was, as I told my husband, sometimes writing is like opening up a vein and watching yourself bleed. It can be painful. It also brings back so many good memories that honestly you've forgotten because they're clouded by past pain. And it's only when you really start looking at all the memories that some of the hidden good memories come back very strongly. So although it was difficult at times to write, when I got done, a lot of hurt that was still remaining residually, although I didn't show it, was lessened just by putting the story out there.
Writing is a cathartic experience. So as you were writing, were you thinking that, yes, this is helping me heal, or did you specifically set out to write it as a way to help others?
I did it both. I wouldn't have published it if I hadn't intended for others to get the message. The fact that both books became number one bestsellers at Amazon just astounded me, the reception that the books have had with families that have been through similar experiences with adoption and cancer and pets and loss, and the outpouring of support via letters and comments on my blog showed me that the books really made a difference to people, and I'm so happy for that. I could have just written these in a journal and left them for my daughter and grandchildren, but I'm so glad I chose to publish them.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the response from readers. I would imagine it helped a lot of people heal, and hopefully you hear back from them.
Yes, I have. I've actually had a number of letters. I also donate a lot of autographed books to various auctions. I just get the books gathered up from my publisher, write a note thanking the person for the support of that particular organization, and they can auction the books to raise funds. And I often get letters back from the people that got one of the books in the auction just saying, well, you know, I got this because it was free and there was a dog on it and I didn't expect to like it, but I loved it. And that just means the world to me because people look at the cover and see dog and think cutesy dog stories. And it is, in many ways, there's a lot of hilarity in it. But it's really a journey, not just a journey of a pet, but a journey of a family.
Mm-hmm. So exciting, and to win awards as well, that's got to be exhilarating.
Yes, I was so happy to win the Reader's View Award. I was unable to attain the awards ceremony in Miami, which was a big deal, but my father he's quite elderly, and though in good health, mm-hmm. I know he doesn't have much time, and I'm not going to use vacation days accepting an award when I can spend time with my father. So I skipped the award, got my medal, and went and took it and showed my dad.
Oh.
A lot of fun.
So he's doing well still?
He still lives on his own. I have a nurse that comes in and helps him with meds and bathing and some personal needs, mm-hmm. and he can't drive, but he is doing quite well, exercises daily, still rides his exercise bike and reads his Bible every morning. So he's quite happy in his home of 70 years, and I don't intend on moving him out.
I get it. I have an 86-year-old mom with a lot of health issues, and I'm doing everything I can to keep her home as well. So I understand where you're coming from.
He's welcome to live with us, but he wants to stay out in the West Coast where he's lived so many years.
That's understandable. That's home.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, looking back on your finished books, is there anything you would have done differently?
I think I would have been a little more explanative in the synopsis of the books, which have since been revised, because I wanted people to know that it's more than just a book about a dog. A lot of people bought it and were surprised that, oh, well, this is a memoir, even though on the back of the book it says memoir. And I actually got a couple less than kind reviews that said, well, I got this dog book and the author just talks about herself, which hurt at the time, but in retrospect, I kind of laughed because is the biography. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really clear in that, and you can't tell from the cover. So I've expanded the synopsis on Amazon to be more clear to a potential reader that what you're reading is a lot more than a book about a dog or a book about a teen mother. It's a book about a journey through life and looking back on it.
You said something important there, because I think it's difficult for anyone to accept any kind of criticism. Yet, if you step back many times, there's a little kernel of truth in there that actually you can improve upon your work and your outcome if you're strong enough to pay attention to it.
Yes, writing is not for the thin skin. There's no matter how good of an author you are, a writer you are, how creative you are, there's going to be some personalities who just don't care for your topic or don't like the way you string. If you look at even some of the classic bestsellers of all times on Amazon, they have a lot of negative reviews. So I looked at it as people are trying to share what I can do better in the future rather than take it personally. Overall, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I couldn't be more pleased, and it's done so much to raise money for the animal rescues.
Right, and that's important, very important. Now, as you were writing, did you find anything particularly challenging?
There were days that I had things I'd rather do. I have a full-time career that involves travel and some long hours. I have a husband. I have a father to tend to. And there were days I just said, you know what, I just don't feel like working on this. But then I realized that, you know, I want this book done. I want to place it in my father's hands while he's still here. And sometimes you just have to sit down and have a cup of coffee and start thinking. And as you do, the words start coming back again.
Well, you had some strong motivation thinking that you wanted your dad to read it.
Yes. Oh, but I did leave out certain things, such as, like, I omitted the story where I snuck out of my bedroom window when I was 16 to attend the party down the block. There's some things Dad just doesn't need to know.
And at this point, he's 90 years old, and I don't know how old you are, and we're still afraid to admit some of those things.
I'm in my 50s. My dad and my mom adopted me fairly late in life, so they're older than most of my friends of my age, the parents. But he's still my dad, and to him, I'll always be 12.
Aww. I love that relationship you have. Well, now let's talk a bit about your process. Do you write every day at the same time in the same place? Sounds like not, since, you know, you do have a full-time job. But how do you manage all that? And then when you do write, is it always in the same location, or do you just feel free to write wherever you are?
I write in the same location. I live in a 100-year-old bungalow that my husband and I bought and completely restored. And it's done very much in the style of when it was built, with Mission Bungalow style. So it's very antique-y looking. I'm sure people looking in the window probably think elderly people live here because we don't even have a flat-screen TV in the living room. But it's very soothing and calming with lots of beautiful woodwork and stained glass. And I have an antique teacher's desk from the 40s or 50s, which my husband refinished. And an old computer that he built to look like an old computer. It looked like an antique, but it's actually got a brand new computer inside. And that's my creative space. It's calming, it's quiet, there's no loud noise, there's no bright colors. I can just sit down with several cups of coffee and just let the words out.
Yep.
And my husband will go down to his man cave in the basement and do some woodworking or whatnot and give me some quiet. Mm-hmm. He knows that interrupting is distracting, but he's been completely supportive of this whole process because in writing two books in a little over a year, I spent a lot of time holed up in that office.
Yes, that's a lot to write in less than a year.
It was, and after the Saving Grace was published, I actually took a year off from writing on anything book-related. Just all I did was some light social media, sending recipes to my friends, just nothing serious. Mm-hmm. I just took a year off to devote to my family, and now that year is up, I've started back on my third book, which will be fiction.
Yeah, let's hop over to that for a minute. You're working on a new book titled A Chapter from Small Town Roads?
Yes, it's basically about a young woman who moves to a very small town from a busy university environment and with definite perceptions of what small town life is and finding out it's something completely different. I think it'll be a serious look at people and personalities and what being a neighbor is all about, but it will be fiction, not based on any particular part of my life.
Okay. And when is that to come out?
I'm hoping that that will be out next spring. I've got the synopsis done, several chapters fleshed out, but my dad now needs a little more time in care, which means I'm flying out to the West Coast fairly regularly to check on him. Mm-hmm. So I'm not having the time to write, but the anticipated publication date will be spring of 2017.
Excellent. We can look forward to that. Now, as you're writing, do you draft outlines for your books?
No, I honestly don't. I probably don't follow any of the rules that writers are supposed to follow. I tend to just sit down and start working on a chapter. And because it's a memoir, it's flowing like my life flows, although Saving Grace was written in a lot of flashbacks, more as a series, like a personal diary, so it's different in style. For the fiction, I am drafting an outline because it's not following a set course of events that I'm well aware of. I'm making it up as I go along, so an outline is greatly helpful.
Right. Now you have an end goal in sight that you know what you're working toward?
Yeah, I usually have the last chapter written right after I've written the first chapter.
Okay.
And then it's a matter of fleshing out the story. How did we get from here to here?
Okay. Interesting. What did your publishing process look like with your two previous books?
I pretty much just let my publisher walk me through it. I had no clue. I didn't know how to self-publish, so I went through a Outskirts Press in Colorado who were just wonderful to work with in providing me the tools to put together the outline, get it professionally edited, and taking care of all the little things that I just frankly had no clue how to do. So that was very helpful. I have friends who are successful authors that have self-published to great success. It just depends on what time you have, how much money you want to spend on editing and marketing, and what your goal is for the book. Is it to just put the book out there? Is it to make money? You know, why are you writing this?
Mm-hmm.
And a good publisher will get you the publication and marketing package that best fits your goals.
Right. So speaking of marketing, what kind of marketing do you do on your own, if any?
A lot of it is just providing occasional updates on the book on social media, not so much that people are going, oh, gosh, there's LB, that author again. I wish he'd just go away. You don't want to browbeat people with a product because a book is indeed something you are selling, even though it's deeply personal. So I mention it periodically. I will post excerpts from the book on various web forums for writers and pet lovers. I have a pet blog that's been very successful, and it's just a ton of fun with people writing posts about their pets or supposedly written by their pets or surrounding their pets. It's all in good fun, and that's got a lot of exposure to the book. I've also spoken at animal rescue events. I've spoken at readers' groups, at libraries, just anyone that I can talk to quietly about the book without a lot of fuss about me. I'm more selling the platform of we're using this book to help animals.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Well, I know that you're working on your third book, A Chapter from Small Town Roads, but is there anything next on the horizon?
Well, there will be. The fourth book is outlined. It's going to be about flying, not as a memoir of my years as a professional pilot, but about why people love to fly airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a post-retirement project. Gives me something to look forward to when I retire in 5 years.
All right. Well, you write extremely well. I don't know where I read on your website about a man's morning shave ritual.
Oh, that was a chapter 4, Small Town Roads.
Okay. I have to say, I love that. My dad bathed in Old Spice, and so I know that smells so well.
Yes, my dad still has the Old Spice in the cupboard, but thankfully no longer any brute.
Oh, really? There was another one you named, High Karate?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, my dad said that the bottle my mom bought him was a dud because no gorgeous women chased after him.
The commercials weren't working for him, were they?
Growing up in the late 60s, it was a kid. Anyone that's read the books will relate to. It was a great time to be a kid.
Absolutely. I think that's why I was drawn to it, too, that whole shaving ritual. And apparently your husband does as well, too.
My husband does, yeah. My husband is, like I said, he's in his early 30s, but he's very much an old soul. I think part of the reason I like him so much is the first time I went to his house, I found that he didn't have video games. He had a Victrola with a collection of antique records.
Oh.
So, he does, when he has time, he does the full shave ritual. But most days, being a mechanical engineer, he's got coffee and is running out the door to his work.
I get it. It's very cool. Well, now, is there anything that we've missed that you would like to talk about today?
One other item is, if you see in the synopsis of the book, is in addition to the dog rescue, I also sponsor a dog at Search Dog Foundation in California. Those are the dogs you see on TV that help SF survivors of natural disasters such as hurricanes or earthquakes or tornadoes. And it costs over $10,000 to get a rescue dog and train it to be a search dog. So my books sponsor a rescue dog each year. And that's been really fun to see. I actually get pictures of the dogs at work now. I've got pictures from Nepal. So that's just one other branch of the outreach from the books that I use to help animals in addition to these small nonprofit shelters.
And, you know, so many people don't think about search dogs. I used to live at the base of the Superstition Mountain. I had a home there. Well, I still do. And I can't tell you how many people would head out in 118 degree heat in the summer and bring a bottle of water and then lose their way. And how many times they had dog rescue teams go out, look for these people. So it's
amazing to watch those animals at work, and people don't realize just how much is involved in the care and training of those animals. Mm-hmm. So any outside donations by any such groups is always appreciated and saves lives.
Excellent. And what's that website?
It's Search Dog Foundation.
Okay.
I think if you just go to a search engine and type that in, it's a very, very large, well-respected organization based in California, and they've been wonderful to work with.
Great, great. An important cause, too. Well, now, where can folks learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
The books are available online only, both digital ebook copies as well as paper books. I'm old-fashioned. I like a paper book I can hold in my hand. They're available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. You can just type in either author initial L, initial B, Johnson, or either book title, The Book of Barclay, or Saving Grace, A Story of Adoption, on either of those websites, and both the book and the ebook can be ordered. I do not have a Barnes & Noble Nook available, but it is available on Kindle as an ebook, and it's available in paperback form at both stores.
Plenty of places where people can get a copy. And your website?
Website is lbjohnsonauthor.blogspot.com.
Right, that's lbjohnsonauthor.blogspot.com. And I'm going to encourage everybody to get over there and get a copy of these books. As I said, I'm sitting here at my desk just weeping, and it's such a touching story and so important, Saving Grace and the Book of Barclay. LB, thank you so much for taking the time to share you and your life with us today.
Well, thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, Pat.